attending our religion.
The door. I thought to speak in these few minutes about a couple of ideas about that. Number one is that if we like to resist sin and temptation, then the only way to do that is that our soul rejoice in the Lord our Savior. When I feel that I'm very happy with the Lord, then I don't need other type of happiness. Usually the weakness comes to me that I cannot resist temptation, I cannot resist sin, because my soul is not rejoicing in the Lord. There's a verse that says that the satisfied soul tramples on honey. Like, I need something to make me happy. So when I'm happy, then I don't need to search for happiness in the wrong way. So this is very important to understand, that our relationship with the Lord must include this feeling of my soul rejoices. You see it always in people that make major decisions, say, about consecration or becoming a devout servant. They must have that joy, because this is the drive, the motive for them to continue, the attraction. And the Lord is capable to do that. The Lord is capable to make us rejoice. That's His nature. Once I know Him, then I enjoy His company. Some of the people that enjoy the company of the Lord very much, when you speak to them, they become surprised that you don't come, you don't join, because they see the joy of how they are joyful. The word joy is used in the world, but really the joy that comes from the Lord is very specific. So it's not parallel or not reserved for other joy. There's something preserved for the joy that comes from the Lord. It makes you really, 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 that you feel that I don't need anything. That's exactly what Saint Augustine said, that I sat on the top of the world. I don't need anything. I'm not scared of anything, because I have the joy of the Lord. It's important also, another point, to understand that God doesn't accept less than that. Less than that is not proper. Like if, say, I approach a girl to be my fiancée, and I'm not rejoicing in her presence, then out of her dignity, she says that I can't continue with you. You are not happy. So the Lord cannot accept from us less than that. We have to be very joyful in His presence. That's the evidence of understanding Him. You know that the relationship with God, with Christ, always is expressed of knowing. You don't know me, I don't know you. Why? Because once we know Him, we know the joy that He can produce. Thanks to the Lord that the majority of us have a taste of it, had a taste of it. Sometimes you see how joyful it is. And this is actually what we consider pre-taste of heaven. Because what makes us happy in heaven is person. The relationship, the presence of God gives us the joy. So we need this as an evidence to give us. God does not accept less than that. Because less than that is not acceptable to God. It's His rank, it's His position, His majesty. That I cannot be in the presence of, say, the prime minister, and I'm bored, or I'm not attracted, or I'm thinking something different. So I'm not appreciative of the position of the prime minister when I am with him. Now, another question is, how can I get it? Is there a way that I can get this joy? The main key to get this joy is sacrifices. The more you sacrifice, the more you get the joy from the Lord. Because He has to reward you. I always say this, that whatever you do to the Lord, He'll pay you back. When you make sacrifices of money, He gives you money. When you make sacrifices of effort, He relaxes you and gives you a way that saves you the effort. Now, if you like to get joy, then you have to sacrifice joy. You sacrifice the joy of the world, you receive His joy. And it's multiple for much of life. What is sacrifice of the joy of the world? Sometimes the joy of the world comes from sin, or from a bad move, or from watching bad sight, or from bad friends, or bad nights, can go to a place with dancing and drinking, and they look as if it is joy. I sacrifice them. Once I sacrifice them, then God is responsible and honest to show me his joy, because his joy is different. So as if he's telling me, you did this, I'll show you what I can give you. And this also happens between people. Like if you make, say, sacrifice for a person, honorable person, and he knows that you sacrifice that for him, then he is responsible to make you happy. For example, you are supposed to go to the movies, and then you didn't go to the movies because mom is sick, and you are going to sit with mom. Mom feels the obligation to make you happy on that night. She may cook for you a nice food, or does anything to show you that you sacrificed going to the movies to stay with me, then staying with me will give you some joy. But possibly mom's capability to give you joy is limited, but God is capable, and he does. He does. This is always reflected in the life of honest nuns and monks. When they make the sacrifice to be with the Lord, they see the joy. Some of the monks say language that is not understandable to the people. They say, they express the joy that they are living in. Recently, one of the monks was telling me that he spoke to one of the top bishops in Egypt in monastic life, telling him, I'm very, very happy. Why? And then that bishop told him that it looks that the Lord is telling you that this is your way. Your way. Monastic life was your way. You didn't come here wrongly. You are invited. That's why the Lord chose you, that you accepted the invitation. I make you happy. So I summarize once more. Number one, to rejoice, your soul rejoice in the Lord and in his salvation by rejecting sin or by repentance. Because repentance is to restore the joy of his salvation. And sometimes we feel depressed. For example, I feel in bad sin. And I'm embarrassed on God. It is a repeated sin. It is too silly that I'm doing this thing as if I'm having dual personality. I love God, I serve God, and then I fall in bad things that I cannot even face the thing. I'm too embarrassed from saying my weakness. This dual personality will be totally replaced by tremendous joy when I see his salvation. In his salvation, I feel how joyful I am, because he wipes them. The Lord said something very, very strange, that he forgets our sin. You know, when the Lord says something, he means it. How come that the Lord forgets? We give God attributes that are wrong. We should understand the attributes of God from the Bible. For example, does God change his mind? Every person said no, because he is God. It's not true. The Bible said to us, he changes his mind. So this attribute is from him. So I don't argue. Among the things that the Lord gives, qualities about him that is very, very strange, is that he forgets our sins. Is it wrong to say that God forgets? No, he owns. He chooses to forget. Imagine that all my sinful and shameful sins, he forgets. Like possibly when we face him in heaven, the sins that we thought that would be chasing us because we repented, God doesn't know. Doesn't know if he wiped them from his own memory. Is it possible? He said it. Whether this is the way or not, I have to understand that the Bible tells me what it is, and this makes me rejoice. My spirit rejoices, and all this burden of silly things that I did, I wiped out. Now I'm clean. I'm clean in his eyes. To the extent that sometimes, a few, last Saturday, there was in the Jerusalem a story of a prostitute that repented. She was good family. Belonging to a good family, but out of poverty, she had to live as a prostitute. And St. John the Short, when he heard about that, was moved because she's a good girl, but pressure on her, poverty, made her a prostitute. So he visited her in the prison, and he spoke to her, and she was immediately, she felt the repentance. The thing that moved my heart is, you know, the readings on the days of the week are always around the saint of the day. Sunday, the reading is around the cycle of the church for Christ. But Monday, Tuesday, Saturday, always the saint of the day, the church selects the reading that matches. So there's a reading that always happened when a virgin died or was martyred. Virgin that died or martyred, there's a special reading in the church. And I observed that last Saturday, the church in her wisdom chose this part for this prostitute. As if the church is telling us she's a virgin. Hey, well, God forgot. And that gives me the joy of this salvation. So, and we receive another point, I'm summarizing, we receive that by sacrifice. We sacrifice the joy of the world, then we receive his joy. He's honest. If you make sacrifice for the joy of the world, it's impossible that he wouldn't make up for that. He'll make up by his own way back. He'll tell you, I can show you the real joy. Because the joy that you think it is joy is not joy. It's very short-lived, and sometimes it makes you void of the real inner joy. So sacrifice it and show you the joy. Another point is that you wouldn't accept the lesser man. It is impolite that I say to the Lord, I'm not joyful with you. It's totally impolite. God is with me. I'm with him in his presence. And I'm not joyful, he cannot accept this like that. Even in relationship between husbands and wives, or fiance and girls and boys, it's impolite to befriend a girl and plan to marry her in engagement and be sure that you are not joyful in her presence. This is very impolite. I cannot say to the Lord or feel in the presence of God that I'm not joyful. So do I pretend? No, I should be joyful. Help by making sacrifices of the joy of this world. And the last point is that it is the joy of life. It is the pre-taste of heaven. When people say, how would we spend our eternity? Is it joyful? Well, have a taste. Have a taste. Have a deposit of the joyful eternity by being in the presence of God, by sacrificing the joy of this world. This group, you praying in this way, in the night, having that vision, is a sign that the joy is happening. There's a movement in your heart. And I hope that some of you, not all of you, will have that joy. Sometimes in these prayer meetings, you get inflamed with the joy of the presence of God. To the extent that you say, I'd like to be like that all the time. And sometimes I get bored, when it finishes. Usually, if you say, when it will finish, then you have joy in this world that is attractive to you, and you don't sacrifice. You don't travel. In all our experiences, it is like that. If I'm enjoying sinful relationship, then I never enjoy the holiness. If I'm allowing myself to be joyful by sinful things, and this is attracting my attention, then hard luck. You cannot have the joy of the presence of God. But the instant that you make a decision to trample on the joy, sinful joy, that exact instant you start receiving the joy of God. Glory be to His name.
Surprises me that St. Mary was able to say that phrase. If you look to the life of St. Mary preceding this comment, she was sent to the temple at a very young age. She grew up in the temple alone. Not a very exciting childhood. after that, she was kicked out of the temple and given to an older man, betrothed to an older man to look after her. Again, not the way we dream about life panning out, about meeting this lovely husband. She was given to be in the care of an old man. And then she's offered to carry our Lord Jesus Christ. And perhaps she thought this would be a change in her life. And then if you look to her life after this event, she went to present Jesus to the temple, and Simeon says to her, a sword will pierce through your side also. And then as our Lord Jesus Christ grew up, St. Mary often was unable to reach him. So for example, when he went to Jerusalem and he began to talk to the leaders of the Jewish nation in the temple, and they lost Jesus, she couldn't even get to him, and she was worried about him. And when she came and said to him, "Where were you?" he said, "Didn't you know? Oh, I have my father's business, my father's work to take care of." So even as he was growing up, it was as if she was unable to spend quality time with her son. And then when our Lord began his ministry, we know that he was extremely busy with his ministry. And there was a time when our Lord was speaking and he was surrounded by so many people, and St. Mary tried to get to him, and she couldn't even get to him. And she sent somebody to him saying, "Your mother is outside." And he said, "You're all my mother and my brothers and my sisters." And so St. Mary's life, before the Incarnation and after the Incarnation, didn't seem so exciting. But she said this comment, "He who is mighty has done great things for me." In our life, are we able to say this phrase, "He who is mighty has done great things for me"? We can only say that when we value what it is that's important, as Bonnie was saying before. What is it that's important? What is it that's precious? If all my interests are in these worldly things, then I can never truly say that properly, because there will be things that I receive that are earthly and things that I want. And so I'll never be able to continuously say, "He who is mighty has done great things for me," because all my attention has been on the earthly things. But what was it that was so precious to St. Mary? It was our Lord Jesus Christ. And the fact that she bore him, the fact that she carried him, the fact that Christ was in her life, was that precious thing. And therefore she was able to say, "He who is mighty has done great things for me, because he has given me Christ. I've carried Christ." It is the same for all of us, that if we receive this gift of Christ in our life, the joy of having Christ in our life, then we would always on our lips be saying, "He who is mighty has done great things for me." Because all I have everything I need in this world, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. Recently, I was doing some visitations, and we visited two houses in one night. The first house was this newly built, beautiful mansion. It was on the water, and it was an amazing house. The second house we visited was actually in a granny flat. The family lived in a granny flat behind somebody else's house. And I noticed that if you compare the two families, the one with the big house on the water, there was a lot of tension in the house. There was tension between the husband and the wife. The kids were not respecting the parents. There was a lack of peace in the house. And it wasn't a very nice feeling. Then straight after that visit, went to this granny flat family. And the whole family with the kids are sitting around in a very holy way, loving each other, a lot of peace in the house, the kids singing hymns, praying together, and the most beautiful, warm feeling. What was the difference? One house, Christ to them is the most important thing. And when you have Christ in your life, then everything else is irrelevant. Our happiness doesn't depend upon these earthly things that sometimes we spend a lot of time chasing after. Our happiness and our joy, as the woman was saying, is dependent upon Christ being in my life. And if Christ is in my life, then I have everything. And then I can say with St. Mary, "He who is mighty has done great things for me. Because he who is mighty has given me my Lord Jesus Christ. He's given me my salvation. He's given me my joy, my fulfillment in life. There's nothing more, nothing greater that I need in my life than to have Christ. I can have nothing. I can live in a granny flat. But if I have Christ, I can say, He who is mighty has done great things for me. Recently, a woman was telling me about this a young man who was nominated to the priesthood in another church. And his salary is $500,000 a year. And he was invited to serve in a small church with a small congregation. And immediately he accepted. Why would someone give up $500,000 yearly income to serve God in a small little parish? Because having Christ and serving Christ and holding Christ is much more precious than anything this world has to offer. And that's the invitation extended to all of us to follow our Lord Jesus Christ, to set our eyes upon Him, our hearts upon Him, that He would be really what we desire in this life. And then with St. Mary, I would look to Him and say, He who is mighty has done great things for me. Glory be to God.
Verses that Joseph Magdi asked me to talk about is blessed who she has faith. Talking about Saint Mary, blessed because she has faith. You understand that when Archangel Gabriel came to Saint Mary, telling her about she's going to give birth to the Lord without having relationship to a man, is something not easy at all to believe, but having an archangel coming from heaven talking to her about that, she had believed. She believed what the Lord told her. And the verse is saying, blessed who has faith. Blessed who has faith. And I would like to talk to you about what sort of blessing when we have faith in what the Lord is telling us. Telling us in the Bible, telling us in the church, telling us through my confession, Father. When I have faith in what is in the Bible, I'm going to be blessed. What is the meaning of being blessed? And what faith should I have? Today, Amber Daniel, Bishop Daniel, prayed with us a mass in the morning, and he gave us a talk. And he said in the talk something very nice. He said that he found a piece of paper on the altar, and one of the youth wrote this paper, have a request from the Lord. And the request was, Lord, grant me purity. Help me for my purity. And Bishop Daniel liked this very much, like the request that someone really need to be pure, struggle to be pure, pray to the Lord to be pure. And the faith that purity is something I would like to achieve, I would like to take, is a sort of faith that only Christian people practice. I guess if you go out in the world and talk to them about purity, people are not Christian. People are living in the world and are not Christian. I guess very much you won't find many people understand the word purity. It doesn't exist anymore. What is the meaning of purity? Why I have to struggle for purity? Why I have to keep my purity? But this youth, among many other youth, of course, praying for purity. We know that many of the youth in our church is really struggling and pray and go to Abuna speaking about purity. I would love to achieve this level of purity. It's faith. Faith that through purity, through believing what the church teaching me to be pure, I'm going to be blessed. This person, this youth who wrote this piece of paper that touches the heart of Bishop Daniel, and he liked it very much, is that a person pray not for a promotion in his work, not for any materialistic thing, as Abuna Mark was talking, but he's praying for his purity in the world around him or around here, that he's no much talks about purity. You won't find this word very much in there, but he believes in what the church teach him or her to be pure. So he prayed about his purity. Has faith in purity, and he liked to have purity, so he put this paper on the altar, and he prayed about purity. The verse is saying, blessed are those who have faith. If you have faith, in the church, if you have faith in the teaching of the Lord, if you have faith in the virtues that the church teaching you are going to be blessed. I'm going to talk to you about what is the meaning of blessing. When this person is struggling for purity and pray to the Lord, I would like to be pure. He has faith about the purity. If I gain purity, I'll be a better person and I please you very much. What sort of blessing the Lord is promising this one? I thought of a couple of stories to talk to you about sort of blessing. One of the stories from the Old Testament about a person who is living in a lot of purity in a society that doesn't have any purity at all. And this was in Sodom and Gomorrah. That was just one person among the whole city who believed in purity. And he's the only one who didn't practice fornication, and he was not adulterer. Only one person. And this person is Lot in the Old Testament. What sort of blessing Lot has? How the Lord bless Lot? What sort of gift the Lord rewarded him for his faith in purity? The Lord decided that this city, at a certain time, say, for example, 12 o'clock noon, everyone is at work, everyone is doing whatever they are doing. They are sinner people. They are doing many bad things anyway. And they don't know that after 1 hour, the whole city is going to be destroyed because the Lord ordered that. And then the Lord sent the two angels, two particular angels, to go to this blessed person who is pure, who is faithful, and telling him, go out of the city now. He doesn't understand anything. He doesn't know that after 1 hour, the city is going to be full of fire. It's going to be destroyed. The only one knows is heaven and the Lord. But the Lord sending two angels to take this person out of this city at that time, so this person is not going to be destroyed. His wife and the two daughters were not very good. All of them, the story is telling in the Bible, if you read the story, after that, they're not very good. They are not very pure. But because this man is pure, the heaven decided that this family, I'm going to save also your wife and the two girls because you are pure men. This is also a blessing. I was thinking of this story that heaven is sending two angels for this particular person to take him out because something very harmful is going to happen. It reminds me of a very special person. Maybe there is a type of work the council decides to do type of work in your street, and the mayor himself thinking of you and you only, and he knock on the door and say, I am the mayor of this city, I just would like to tell you that if you'd like to do any arrangement for you so that you are not going to be very much distracted by the work I'm going to do, you are very special. Can you understand heaven sending two angels especially for Lot to take him out and to save his life and his story to be written in the Bible? This is the blessing of the person who has faith. All heaven is doing that. Second story about Saint Mary. Blessed is Saint Mary when she believed. What sort of blessing Saint Mary has? Saint Mary was like any youth of you, like any one of us, very simple person. But can you know, do you know Saint Mary, how much she has been glorified over all generation, over all years, over all ages? Very glorified. It's a great blessing. She's a person that is very well known to almost everyone. And when you go to heaven, she has a title. She's a queen in heaven. This is a source of blessing that the Lord allowed this simple girl who was in her teenager, and she was a very simple, but the Lord blessed her very much to have this lovely name, Mother of God, to be glorified and to be having revivals. And every year we love to fast for Saint Mary. People love to ask her for intercession very much because the Lord blessed this Saint Mary. I'll finish my words about a blessing for the people who has faith in the Lord. A story that I heard from Abuna Ya'ub many years ago, and I like this story very much. At one stage, Abuna Ya'ub serving with another Abuna called Abuna Musa. That she's a bishop at the moment, and Basanasius. And Abuna said this story that a lady had faith in the church. And she has a lot of faith in the altar, that anything she put on the altar is going to be blessed. And she knows that I'm going to be blessed because I have a faith in that church. And she had a son who just finished HSC, and this is many years ago. And the result used to come as an envelope in by mail. And the son rushed to get the mail to see what is his marks. That's waiting the full year HSC with all the stress to know the mark. And his mom took the envelope out of him and said, no, you are not going to open it. Abuna in the church is going to put it in the altar, pray, and then you are going to open it so that the Lord is going to bless you. And as Abuna opens the story, the boy get crazy on his mom. Mom, the mark is written inside here. And there's no power in the whole world to change the mark inside. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me that I'm going to get blessing. And she told him, have faith, and you are going to be blessed. Because the people who have faith, the Lord is going to bless them. I'm going to tell you what source of blessing this person has. His mom told him that you are going to get extra marks. And he didn't believe, of course, what source of extra marks that the letter is here. And they went to Abuna, and the boy thought that Abuna would have some more white mind than his mom. So he went to Abuna and said, Abuna, did you believe that if I open this in front of the altar after praying the mass, I'm going to be blessed? And to his astonishment, to his surprise, Abuna said, yes, on the altar, the Lord is going to bless you. He doesn't have anything else to say. So he puts the paper on the altar, the envelope on the altar, prays the mass. After the mass, Abuna prayed, and he told him, the Lord is going to bless you with 3% extra. And of course, the boy didn't believe in all that. He just would like Abuna to open the envelope and finish with the whole story. And after he opened the envelope, he gets a mark, and he wished to go to one uni. And the cutoff of this uni was 3% higher than the cutoff, than the mark he got. And in the second round, they called him especially. There was someone who withdrew from the course, and he was the one that the Lord decided to give him this course, although that he has 3% less. Is a blessing. Blessing with the Lord. Many, many lovely stories of blessing with the Lord. When the Lord bless someone, the Lord make things work very well. The Lord, you will see the hand of the Lord working in your life, here on earth and in heaven. So the lovely verse we have today is, blessed who has faith. Saint Mary has faith in something that's very hard to believe, that I'm going to be pregnant with not knowing any man. But she believed. And the Lord blessed her that she believed. What can believe in? Believe in the Bible. Believe in the teaching of the church. Don't believe in the world outside and what the world is telling you, but believe in what the Lord told you in the Bible. If you believe in that, you are going to be blessed by the Lord. It's a promise from the Lord to be blessed.